It's always a refresher for us and a refreshment. Last time, if you remember, I had white socks with my black shoes, and this time I've just got sneakers. So I left my church shoes in Italy, so you have to forgive me if that offends you. All right, brother. We're just going to just show you a handful of slides over our trip the last 3 weeks, and I just tell you real briefly what took place and maybe some things that didn't take place I won't tell you about. But this is the Galeotto family. It was a real blessing for Priscilla to see her family. She hasn't seen the whole family in almost 3 years now. It's a few days from 3 years, so they had to spend a lot of time together. And, of course, mom with the grandbabies and all that sort of thing. But the main purpose for going, of course, was to see the work there again. This is the church that's established there. And this thing popped up again. Let's get rid of it. And the church is mainly made up of, right now, Filipinos. However, there are three Italian families coming. And it's a real blessing just to see baby Christians start to walk spiritually and desire the sincere milk of the word, desire to grow, desire to do something for the Lord. It's a real blessing. Out of this group of people, I think everybody but these three here on this left side went out for street preaching both Saturdays in a row. So the Lord's really blessing using the church in Palatimo, Sicily, Italy. This is Brother Maurizio and his son Salvo, his wife, Rosie. And Brother Maurizio, he was in the mafia for a bunch of years of his life, and he had delivered a bunch of drugs back and forth and dumped drugs. And finally, he wanted to get out when they wanted him to kill somebody. And he was very good friends with the Don. And so the Don let him get out. Normally that never takes place. Normally to get out of the mafia, you go out in a wooden box or in concrete or something like that. But this brother, he's a walking miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. And we went out now 2 weeks in a row, and he went street preaching. 2 weeks he actually stood on a street corner and left out a Bible and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're looking at a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ right there. These are a few of the ladies there with the baby, of course, having a good time. Some of the ladies, they sang a few specials and had little Bible studies and all that sort of thing. We had a good time. It was a blessing to be able to teach and to preach to the people there. Had Brother Sal translate. Of course, I'm working on a language. Lord really gave me a zeal and a desire now, especially to hit it a lot harder. I hadn't been to Sicily in almost 4 years. And so the Lord really showed me that I can't rely on the English-speaking translators when I get there. So y'all pray for me, if you will. But I also had Brother Giacomo to translate for me, and he did a real good job. If you guys would think about it, to pray for him. Giacomo is really, he's a young man that could really do some good. Oh, higher. Is that better? He could do some good for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very smart, very, very humble. And just keep him in prayer. He's at the stage in his life right now where he's trying to figure out which direction to move, whether to work there or come to the States, and what to do. So pray for him, Giacomo Galeotto. These are the missionaries that showed up for the missions conference. Brother Jamie Holman, he's up in Rome. Brother Joel Hauser, he's a missionary on deputation to Germany. Brother Bryant Frataloni and myself, missionaries to Sicily. And of course, Brother Galeotto, missionary to Sicily, Italy. Here's some of the ladies singing a special. And this is really a presentation, just trying to give you an idea of what's going on in the church there and a little bit of the land over there. You can see the ladies there getting together, and just a real sweet spirit. It's something that you don't find in a lot of churches. They're just trying to serve the Lord, and they're baby Christians, and they're just taking the right steps. It's a real blessing to watch. Here we are out street preaching, and we'll go out every Sunday afternoon and sometimes Saturday afternoon. It's called a Politiama, and you'll have tourists as well as Italians just flocking down there, droves of people going in and out. While we were there this last Sunday afternoon, there was thousands and thousands of people going down, and they were having marches for Santa Rosalia, which is the goddess over the city of Palatimo. Here's Maurizio, the Italian brother that was in the mafia street preaching, and just a real blessing to be a part of that and to see him there. I was able to do some witnessing. These folks here actually spoke English. And throughout the duration of this trip, three Italian ladies received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And these two Filipino ladies received Jesus Christ as their Savior. These two ladies also speak English. And so the Lord seems to be building an English thing over there. We almost need to have two services maybe soon. This is Tindari. It's a town about an hour and a half outside of Palermo. And this is a shrine that they built in Tindari. And you can see a little bit closer. And the Italian people, they climb up a mountain to go inside of this shrine on their hands and knees. And they leave money at the top of the shrine for their loved ones to get them out of purgatory. And this whole shrine was built for this idol, which is called the Black Madonna. And they found this idol in the bottom of the ocean. Some fishermen were fishing, and they pulled it out in a crate. And the Catholic Church decided to make it a saint over the capital of Tindari in that area of Sicily. And so people do climb on their hands and knees to leave money at this idol. And we were up there talking with this priest. He was one of the priests that worked up there. And he spoke good English, and we talked a little while. And I started asking him questions, you know, like, do you really believe that you can help go between God and man and help people get their sins forgiven through Mary? And whenever I started asking those questions, he just started speaking Italian and walked off, you know. But definitely the people are deceived because of all the glamour and because how the culture runs in Sicily. Everything's built upon the Catholic Church, even in the businesses. This is the saint over Palermo, Santa Rosalia. And the story with Santa Rosalia was some hunters were in the woods one day. This is the short story. And they found the skull of a lady that had supposedly died in the woods years earlier. And they, whenever they found that skull, they gave it to the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church decided to make a shrine. And they called it after the woman's name, supposedly, Santa Rosalia. And so people will climb up and leave money inside of this booth here. You can see her. This lady's overlaid in gold. And I don't have a picture, but on the other side, there's all kinds of money people leave in there. And again, this money's given to get their loved ones out of purgatory to help their loved ones to pay the debt of sin that they never paid while they were still alive on the earth. I took a photo of this. This is a banner that hangs outside of her thing. And down here it says, Palermo a salva, which means Palermo is saved because they found this lady's skull. And they sincerely believe that she watches over Palermo and protects them. You can see just how deceived these people are and how much they need the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a book that people will come in and they write all their prayer requests to Santa Rosalia, and the priest will take it and who knows what he does with it, but they honestly believe that she reads that book and she'll answer their prayers faster than Mary because Mary's very busy, of course. Here's an idol, Padre Pio. I was surprised in Sicily. Padre Pio is more famous than Mary. Padre Pio is everywhere in Sicily, on the cars, on people's necklaces, everywhere. And I didn't know he was that famous, but he is. Here's another one of the priests. I was inside of Santa Rosalia, and we got to talk with him for a few minutes. And I gave him a gospel tract and started just giving him some scripture, and he started rebuking me and chased us out of there. But it just shows you that these guys are just average Joe guys. They're nothing special. They sit behind a curtain and pretend to be God and deceive the hearts of millions of people. These two Catholic ladies here, we met them at the zoo, and Priscilla was pretty bold. She went up and just started talking to them, and she was talking about baptism. And before we knew it, about 15 or 20 people surrounded us. And so Priscilla was witnessing to these two Catholic nuns, and they were trying to tell her there is a purgatory, and she was just quoting scripture in Italian. And at the end of it, she got to good witness in with two ladies. And one of them, I'm not sure, and she's still not sure if she got saved, but we think one of the ladies got saved. This is one of the little shrines on the side of the hill, and we stopped, take some pictures, and it was open. And so I did a Dagon move to a little idol in there, and hopefully they'll lock it next time, I don't know. But of course, the culture is a little bit different in Sicily. You can see some of the food there, the sheep heads looking at you, some intestines and cow stomachs and all sorts of good things. And so it's some adjusting, but the Lord's been good over there, supplied all Sal's needs. And of course, we don't eat this stuff. It just makes a good slide. But I've got a few more pictures of trash for you guys. I was really surprised. I don't remember this, but all the streets are covered with garbage and dogs using the bathroom all over the place. And they just let it pile up on the sides of the roads like this. And then they'll come in with a bobcat, literally, and dump it into the garbage truck. And so a little different lifestyle. We stopped here to take some photographs, and the guy that ran the dump truck spoke English and came out and talked with me, and we got a really good gospel witness in. So the Lord's, if you're available, if you make yourself available, the Lord will always have you cross paths with somebody you can give the gospel to. So while we were in Sicily, we did a lot of laughing. We did a lot of shopping. And we looked at what the Lord did over there and some of the nature and everything. We did some singing with Sal and the family. Hannah really had a blast with Sal on a guitar and just having some good family time at night. But most of all, we got to see the people and see the need. This lady here, she received the Lord a while back, and she came back, and she wanted to start coming to church now, and wanted to stand there, and she actually was giving out tracts and stuff for a little while, so we praise the Lord for it. But most of all, we're going back for the people. Regardless of the culture or the food or anything like that, there's droves and droves of people that never had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. They've never had the opportunity. And in America, we're very spoiled. Even in America, there's people I've run into that never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. But in Sicily, there's millions of them that if they wanted to find the gospel, they really couldn't find it. And the Bible tells us that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads into life, and few there be that find it. And that's the case in Sicily, Italy. So I'd ask you guys to please keep us in prayer. And we'd really appreciate it. We'll keep you all in prayer. And that's the end of these slides, brother. So if you want to grab the lights. All right. Real quick, are there any questions at all? If I can answer anything from anybody. Hi, Brother Stefano. Oh, I didn't eat it, brother. I'm sorry. Anybody have any questions? No, okay. Can I use this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. Oops, here, we'll get it from this side. All right. All right, if you've got a Bible, if you can turn to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. And if I could just ask one of the men in here if they could read John, chapter 21, verse 1 to verse 11. John 21, verse 1 to verse 11, if you can just read that out nice and loud. Go ahead.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples of the sea, of Tiberias, and on his voyage showed himself. There was together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we're so grateful, God, for the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we're so grateful that you looked upon us, Lord, one day found in our sins, and you had mercy on us, God, and we thank you for it. We pray that you might be with the preaching tonight, God. Lord, I don't know what your people need tonight, but you do. Lord, I pray you might hide me behind the blood. I pray my high and divine Holy Spirit help me not to say anything contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight we're just going to look for just a few minutes at the fishing net. And this is what we call a cast net. And I didn't know much about fishing until I went down to Pensacola, Florida, and started fishing. And this is a cast net. How we use this thing is we'll take it and we wrap the cord around our wrist like this. So when you throw it, you don't lose your net. I did that once. You don't want to do that. And then we slowly wrap this around, make a couple loops. And some people grab this down here and they bite it. And then they take this over their fingers like this. And they throw it. Now, I only did this one time because I was afraid I was going to rip my teeth out. So what I do is throw it over your shoulder. And you take it like this. And you hold on to this rope with your index finger and your thumb. And you take this net and you cast it out. And it should open up into a circle, unless it bounces off the carpet. And when this thing opens up into a circle, what happens is this lead sinks down to the ocean floor. And this isn't working out too good with sneakers. And you're up on the dock or on the land, wherever you are, or wading out, and you're holding the line. And you slowly pull the line together, and it pulls the lead together at the bottom. And you do it very slowly, because if you do it too fast, you'll lift up the net and all the fish will swim out from under the net. And so as you slowly do this, the bottom closes. And if you have any fish, they're in here swimming around trying to get out. And as you slowly close the net, you get excited. You're up on the dock. You're pulling the fish net up and you feel it all bubbling and chirping. See the water splashing. And you put it on the dock and you open up the net and you see what you've caught. And if you read the Bible much, you find in the Bible, almost all biblical fishing is net fishing. And there's a difference between biblical fishing and I call it American fishing, but I guess it's just worldly Christian fishing. The worldly Christian fishing is this. We get a piece of bait and we say we got to find the right bait to lure the fish in and we got to work the bait and it's all us. And then we take it and we go with a pole, right? And we flip it out there and look at us, right? Or we get a hunk of meat and a sinker, and we put it on a rod and reel and throw it out there. And then we set it up, and we put a bell, and then we go to sleep. And hopefully something will bite onto that thing and wake us up. We'll hear the bell go off. But biblical fishing isn't like that. Biblical fishing is always casting a net. It's always work. It's always labor involved. And something that people don't realize about fishing is, biblically, fishing isn't you catching a fish because you don't do the catching. Biblical fishing is you getting a fish in the net, and when you empty him out at the dock, you lift that fish up, and you say, Jesus Christ, and I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, little fish, you want to go swim back in your pond, or do you want to get saved and join the body of Jesus Christ? You want to join the Lord Jesus Christ and swim in his pond spiritually? And none of us spiritually catch any fish. Jesus Christ is all at work. The Holy Ghost is all at work. But God, it takes men, right? You understand? Some of you are looking at me funny. Amen. Amen. So many things to get. Amen. Sorry. But we don't do it. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. And so we just do the physical labor side of it. But tonight, I just want to liken your life to this cast net. Your testimony, what you do with your time, what you do with your money, that sort of thing with the net. And there are some things that you have to do to the net in order to be fruitful as a fisherman. There's three major things you have to do with this net in order to stay fruitful as a fisherman. And the first thing you have to do is you have to make sure your net's clean. And this goes without saying, this isn't a point, but I'm just going to say it. If you don't know how to cast the net spiritually, Christian, you need to learn. Maybe there's some of you in here tonight that don't know how to soul win. You don't know how to open a Bible and show somebody the bread of life. You don't know how to open a Bible and show somebody what Jesus Christ did for them, how they can get out of hell, how they can get their sins forgiven, how they can get Jesus Christ's righteousness. You need to learn how to cast the net spiritually. And I'm sure if you were to come up to pastor or some of these men that know how to cast the net, they'll be more than willing to show you. That's what I had to do with fishing. I found somebody that knew how to fish and cast a physical net, and I said, hey, can you show me? And he showed me. So if you're ignorant of how to cast the net, you need to learn how to cast the net spiritually. But once you learn how to cast the net, there's three important things to do with the net. And the first thing is you have to wash your net. Turn to Luke chapter 5. in verse number 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." And it might seem kind of silly to somebody that's not a fisherman to drive by or to walk by and see a whole bunch of fishermen out of their boats cleaning nets. You say, why aren't they out there in the deep water? Why aren't they catching fish? Why are they wasting time cleaning a bunch of nets, just washing a bunch of nets? Why aren't they out there where the fish are? Don't they know they're not going to catch any fish if they're on land cleaning nets? They need to get out there. And maybe that's how some of us are in this room. We look at everybody else and we deny our own net that needs to be cleaned. Now, we expect God to give the increase. And a lot of times our net is dirty. We expect that the Lord's supposed to use us because we tell Him to use us. But God's not looking to use a dirty vessel. God's looking to use a clean vessel. We want God to do the spiritual things. Well, God's looking for a spiritual vessel. And that's the problem with me. The problem is I want God to do what I tell Him to do when I tell Him to do it. And a lot of times my heart's not as clean as it should be. Your heart's kind of like your body. You need to take a shower every couple of days or else it starts to stink. Well, your heart probably needs to take a shower in that book every couple of days at least. Or else it's going to start to stink. It's going to start having problems. And we take that net and we want to be fruitful, but we have a whole bunch of trash within our net. And one of the reasons that you need to keep the net clean is whenever this thing lands on the ocean floor and you pull it back up, it collects little seaweed, little twigs, sticks, rocks, sometimes shells, and if you don't clean it out, whenever you coil it back up and you're all excited and you see the fish and they're coming and they're swimming and they're bubbling and you go to throw it, it won't open up. It's just going to cling to itself and it's just going to splash in the water. And you know what will happen? And this is what happens a lot of times. A lot of times with Christians, they don't clean their net. They don't live a right life. They don't live holy before the Lord Jesus Christ, and even in their private life. And they go out there, and all they do is make a whole bunch of noise and scare away the fish. That's what a lot of Christians do. And they say, look at me, I'm fishing! Splash! And the fish are all, psh! Look at me, I'm fishing! And if you've been around, I guess, at all, in witnessing and all that, you've seen people. And that's all they do. They just go out for an argument. They just go out for a fight. And they scare away the fish. They're really not trying to win any fish. Why? Because their net's dirty. And you're not going to accomplish anything with a dirty net. You say, well, what could be in my net? Well, I don't know what could be in your net. I don't want to really preach legalism up here too much. But, you know, we as Bible-believing Christians, we say, man, we're against adultery. Right? Man, we're against fornication. Right? Amen? Amen. We're against it. But then a lot of times we just let it in our living room on the television. There it is. Are we really against it? You say, but preacher, I read my Bible. Yeah, but there could be some dirt in your net, Christian. There could be some dirt in what you're putting in your eyes. There could be some dirt in what you're putting in your ears. Some of the music some of you are listening to in here tonight. It's wicked. It really is. And you expect God to bless you? You expect God to let you be fruitful? When your net's dirty, it's not going to happen. Can you still catch some fish sometimes on some occasions? Yes, but you're not going to be as fruitful as you should be if you have a dirty net. I was driving with a brother down in Pensacola, Florida, and he had a bunch of country music. And you guys said, well, there's nothing wrong with country music. It talks about real life problems that I go through, you know. And an old preacher said this. He said, well, I have diarrhea and vomit sometimes, but I don't want you to write songs about it, right? Talks about real problems. And you know, some of you guys, you listen to all that garbage and you expect God to bless you. Well, He's not. He's not going to bless you like He could and like you need to be used, but He's not going to do it. Why? Because you have garbage in your net. And this guy in Florida, finally he had enough and we were driving down the road and he just started chucking CDs out the window. And maybe some of you guys need to do that. Maybe some of you guys have some unforgiven brethren. Maybe some of you guys have some bad habits in here and it's all just collecting in your net. And you want to be fruitful. You really want to be fruitful. If I were to ask you to raise your hand tonight, who wants to be fruitful? I'm sure everybody would raise their hand. But how many of us want to clean out our net? Not too many of us. We're attached to our sin. We're attached to our problems. We're attached to things that we love. They're a comfort to us. Something the Lord really showed me on this trip to Sicily. I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have any of that electronic. Man, it was a blessing. You get bogged down so much with all this electronical stuff, the Facebook and the Twitters and the tweeting and the twanging or whatever it is. And man, some of that could be some garbage in our nets, Christian, as prohibiting us from being fruitful like we should as a Christian. And so the primary reason for cleaning our net is, number one, it will not open if you don't clean your net. Now, number two, if you don't clean your net, slowly the salt water is going to eat away the whole, net. And I found this out the hard way. Never buy a fishing net from a thrift store. I went to a thrift store, got a really good deal on a fishing net. This one's really useless. It's just for illustration. The one we actually use for catching fish is about 16 feet, opens up 16 feet wide, very big. And I was so proud of my net I bought, and I coiled it up, and I was just going to do a practice run, you know what I mean? And I got it over here, and I thought I saw something, and I used it as an excuse just to do a practice run. And I threw it as hard as I could out, and it opened up perfect. And then I felt this little tug on my wrist, and I heard zzz, and my line went limp, and I pulled it in, and right about here, the whole thing had just torn apart. And all this was out in the ocean somewhere, and some fish were getting stuck in it. And Christian, if you don't clean your net, eventually it's all going to catch up to you. Nothing tonight's going to be real deep or doctrinal, but it's just a little bit of practical advice from the fishing net. If you don't clean your net, one day it all will fall apart. You don't know how many churches we've been in and found people that say, "You don't understand, brother. We need your prayer for my family and this and this and this." And I say, "What's going on?" "It all just fell apart, brother. You don't understand. My son went this way to the world. My daughter went out here, and this daughter's pregnant, and she's not married." And I say, "What happened?" Well, their whole life, they didn't clean the net. Just a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. And I'm sure you guys know people like that. Their whole life just falls apart all of a sudden. Well, it's because you didn't clean the net. The salt water slowly, slowly, slowly eating away the net. And one day it all just falls apart. It's imperative that we as Christians, we take care of our net, that we clean our net, or else it's all just going to fall apart. Now, the last reason for cleaning our net, for washing our net, is probably the most important. If we don't clean our net, we'll never be able to see the holes that are in our net. I was out fishing one time with a net, and the school of fish was coming up here. And what you do when you throw the cast net, you don't throw it right on top of the school of fish. When a school of fish are right about where this pulpit is, and they're coming this way, you throw the net right about here. And that way, when that school of fish... It'll wait for the subway. That way, when the school of fish is coming this way, the net lands and traps most of that school underneath. And so there's a school of mullet coming along, and I cast the net, and I was pulling the net up nice and slow, and I felt it bubble in, and man, my heart was getting all excited. And you know, how many of you guys have gone fishing before and caught fish? All right, a bunch of hands went up, then some went down, I said, and caught fish. All right, whenever you catch that fish, you feel it bubbling, you get all excited, you know, I was all excited. And the line was jerking, and so I pull it up nice and slow so I don't lift the lead off the bottom. And as I'm pulling it up, it's getting lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And I get it up, and there's one little fish in the bottom of the net. And I knew I threw it right over the whole school. And so I waited again, and finally the school comes back around and threw it again. And about four times I did that, and finally at the end I said, "Maybe there's something wrong with my net." And so it was dark out. I went home, and the next day I lifted up my net up to the sun, and I found some holes in our net, in my net. And Christian, that's what we have to do. We have to lift up our own net to the sun, to Lord Jesus Christ, to the Bible, to the light, and say, "Lord, I'm not as fruitful as I want to be. I'm not as fruitful as I think I should be. And it's probably my fault, God. I don't think it's your fault that I'm not fruitful. And Lord, can you show me, are there any holes in my net? Where's the fruit escaping, Lord? Where is it? Where's it gone out of, God?" But the problem with us is we don't like to do that. We like to do this. "Man, that's a fine looking net, isn't that? Man, that looks great. just wadded up on the floor. It's brand new. I bought it from Walmart. It really is. Amen? But we don't like to pick up our own net. We like to pick up somebody else's net and say, hey, you got a hole here, and you got a hole there, and you got a hole there. Oh, look, your line's fraying. Oh, the salt water's eating you up. Look at this, brother. But look at mine. Man, it's perfect. But Christian, we really shouldn't even be concerned about our brothers in Christ, their net. That's between them and the Lord. Our concern should be our own net, picking it up and saying, Lord, please, God, show me the net, or show me the hole. God, I'm not fruitful like I should be. And Lord, I really want to do something for you. I want to do more, God. And God, I know there's something wrong with me. And Lord, I'm asking you to please show it to me. Would you please show it to me? I really want to get it right, God. I don't want to be living this way. I want to do something more for you, God. I'm sick of just the complacency that I'm sitting in. Lord, please help me. Please show me, God, what's wrong with me. You know, if I believe if you pray that prayer, Lord will show you. Lord will show you. So how do you know? Because he showed me a lot of holes in my net. And I think as you hold that net up to the Lord and to that book, God will say, right there's the hole. You say, where? He said, right there. And you say, oh, preacher, that's just such a little tiny hole. What damage could that little hole do? But see that little hole? Look how big the fish could get out of that hole. Just and you know what you have to do with that hole? You have to mend that hole. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and look at verse number 17. The Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Here's James and here's John, and they're in a ship and they're mending their net. And you say, preacher, well, why do we have to mend our net? Well, because if there's holes in your net, all your fruit's going to escape out of the holes. Every single piece of fruit is going to escape out of the hole 99% of the time. And occasionally, you'll catch a fish. Just like me, I threw that net over and over and over again, and I got one fish out of the whole deal. Why? Because there was a hole, or a couple holes in the net. And maybe some of us have some holes in our net. Maybe one of our holes is lack of prayer, the hole of prayerlessness. You expect God to work in your life. You expect God to open the doors and part the Red Sea for you with your job or with your marriage or with your family or with whatever the situation is. And you don't pray about it. You don't fast about it. You just expect God to do it because you got saved. And that's how most Christians are. You expect God to do it because you're His child. Well, God's not going to do that. God doesn't work like that. God looks for the humble person that's seeking His face. God has spends little time in the Bible with the people that are just mocking Him, or the people that are just a skeptic of Him, or the people that are just commanding Him around. If you read the Bible, He really doesn't spend much time with them. He spends some time with the people that are sick, that need a physician, that are crying out, that need help, that know they need help, that are looking for the help. But us, we expect God just to open up the doors. Just like tonight, I had a young man ask me, man, you preached last time that to be a missionary, you just do the same thing you do in your local church. And I said, yeah, that's exactly right. You just do the same thing here as you're going to do over there, just a different language and a little different culture. But it's the same exact thing. It's giving the gospel out and training men the whole nine yards, discipling people. And Christian, if you're not looking for the holes in your net, you're not going to find them. And if you do find the holes, if you don't try and mend them and ask the Lord to help you to mend them, you're not going to be as fruitful as you should be. You say, what could be a hole? Well, maybe lack of Bible reading. Some of you run into coworkers. Some of you run into people on the streets, and you can't even give them a Bible answer for their question because you don't read the book. You don't study the book like you should. This is how we should be. Look at Job. Look at the book of Job. Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29. Job's a man, he's filled with wisdom, and people stop and listen to him because he's filled with wisdom. Look at Job chapter 29 and verse number 8. The Bible says, Job 29:8, "The young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave me witness, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help." Look at verse number 21. "Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. In the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners." Job says that he sat there and he spoke, and when he spoke, everybody shut their mouth. Why? Because he had something to say. He represented God the right way. Look at Job chapter 42. This is how the Christian should be. They should have an answer for the questions that the world asks, for the questions that younger Christians ask. And sometimes it's because we don't read our Bible and we don't study. It's a hole in our net, Christian. Job chapter 42, verse number 7. Job represented the Lord right. The Bible says, Job 42:7, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Why? For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." There's a lot of Christians that when somebody asks us a question, we just give our opinion. But we don't represent God the right way. And God was angry with these three men because they didn't represent him right. And Christian, that could be a hole in our net. That's a big hole in our net. You know what God said? God said, listen, go get all these burnt offerings and sacrifices. And listen, I'm going to have Job pray for you. Don't even pray to me. I'm going to have Job pray for you. And I'll listen to his prayer. Why? Because he represented me right. And some of you Christians in here tonight, you don't know how to represent the Lord right because you don't know what he says, because you don't read his book, because you don't study his book like you should. And that's a hole in your net. You say, well, how do I get rid of that hole? How do I fix that hole? Well, it starts by reading the Bible. It starts by studying the Bible. It starts by prayer. There are some holes, Christian, that you can't fix by yourself. One of those holes could be lack of compassion for the lost. You say, Lord, I have that hole. And God, I don't really know how to have more compassion for the lost than I already do. But God, I'm just going to commit my works unto you. And God, I'm going to get down, I'm going to pray, God. Right here is a hole in my life, and I see it, and I acknowledge it, and it's my fault. But God, I need your help. Would you help me patch up this hole? Would you give me the grace? Would you give me the strength? Please, Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this hole patched up in my life because I want to be fruitful for you. I want to catch fish. I want to do the right thing, Lord. That's what we want to do. Well, some of us have children. God, I want my children to serve you, but we've got all these holes in our net. And one day, it's just going to fall apart. And you're going to look back and say, why? Wait for the train. Why did it all fall apart? You never patch the holes in your net. Sometimes it all falls apart because we don't clean our net, all the filth and the violence of the world and all that. But sometimes it's because of all the holes. Eventually, it all just falls apart. People don't read the Bible as a family anymore. People don't pray. There's no family altar. You say, well, we're Christians. Well, we go to church. It's probably some of you in here today that haven't even read your Bible today because you said we're coming to church tonight. Christian, that's a hole in your net. You need to get it patched. You're not going to be as fruitful for Lord Jesus Christ as you could be. It's a lack there, Christian. Let's look at the last point, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we'll look at verse Excuse me. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Mark 1, verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Christian, it sounds easy, but it's probably hard for some of us. No, it's hard for me to cast a net. That's the last point. You might have the holes patched. You might have all the garbage out. You might walk right. You might live a holy life. But if you don't cast the net, you'll never, ever, ever catch any fish. You'll never, ever be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some Christians, all they do is give out tracts, but they never witness. There's some Christians that don't even give out tracts. There's some Christians that just haven't post a text out or something like that. But Christian, if you're not physically casting the net, you're never going to catch physical fish. And I don't know how else to put it. It seems pretty simple to me, that concept. But in order to catch fish, you got to get up early in the morning, physical fish, and you've got to get all your tackle and all your gear in line, and then you have to choose a place to go to cast the net. Same with spiritually fishing. Got to get up and get yourself prepped and get yourself prayed up and get the Lord's mind on where to go. And once you choose the spot, maybe it's down here in the city, maybe it's up a few lanes off the train. I mean, you guys take the train here for free anywhere on the island. That's a good deal. You got to choose a spot, and then you go and you cast the net. And you know why people don't like to cast the net? Same reason I don't like to cast the net. Because it takes sweat, it takes tears, it takes time, it takes a backbone, it takes a lot out of you to keep casting the net. And you look at people that are professional fishermen that catch a lot of fish physically, and they're out there when the wind's whipping, and there's ice all over the boat, and you know what they're doing? They're freezing. They wrap duct tape around their fingers in case they slip with a knife and cut, and they're casting the net, and they're freezing, and they're shaking, but they're committed. And most of us, we're not that committed, Christian. You gotta cast the net if you want to catch fish. Some of you in here, you probably haven't caught any fish this last year. Maybe 2 years. Maybe for your life as a Christian, you haven't caught any fish. And one of the reasons is maybe you're not casting the net. You say, but preacher, you know, we're in Laodicea. Nobody gets saved in Laodicea. No, Christian, that's just an excuse. I think we covered that last time. That's just an excuse people use. You know, we went to Sicily. We saw 5 people receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, oh, the capital, you know, the Satan seat, Italy. Yeah, but there's people there that are searching for the truth. They're looking for it high and low. They're doing everything they can to find it. When they find it, man, are excited. We got some sold-out Christians in Sicily because they finally found the truth. Christian, you got to cast the net. You got to do it. You got to cast it. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. And that's not going out there and biting people's head off and breaking people up and hurting them with the Bible. You know what we're doing? We're earnestly contending for people's souls against the Mormons. We're earnestly contending for people's souls against the Jehovah's Witnesses, against the Mormons, against the Catholics. There's all these religions and Satan's vying for their soul. And we're supposed to be out there casting the net. And whenever we get those fish, we bring them to the Valley of Decision and say, all right, fish, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? He died for your sins. You know what missions is? This is probably the simplest way to illustrate missions for some of you guys. I'm a very simple guy. This works for me. But missions is just Brother Galeotto in Sicily, Italy. He's all the way over there, and he's casting the net. You know what missions is? Missions is just Brother Veach holding the line for him, helping him out. And when he gets some fish, that water trickles down, and the Lord says, I'm going to put some fruit onto your account for helping him out. That's all missions is, Christian. It's just helping another brother out that's across the sea. And just holding a rope for him and helping him out. But Christian, if you want to catch fish, you got to cast the net. You say, but it's impossible. The day we live in, you don't understand, preacher. We're in New York. But Christian, we've been in supposedly the coldest part of America, in Maine. And we were up in Maine in the RV. I think 6 people came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 6 people. And then a little while later, 7 people, their grandma. And you say, but you don't understand, preacher. You don't understand. But Christian, if you cast the net, you'll have some fruit. I'm just going to give you a couple illustrations. Maybe it'll help you. we were up in New York, and there was these kids, and they were walking down the street in the dark, and I ran up to them and was yelling at them in the dark, you know, I got free comic books for you. And these kids stopped in the dark, and we talked for about 10 minutes. It was freezing. Right, man. It was freezing cold out, and so we went to McDonald's. And after about an hour and a half, an hour and 20 minutes, all five of these little fish received Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You know what it took? It just took some idiot going out yelling at him in the middle of the night, saying, hey, I got comic books for you. Will you take a gospel track and witness into them? We were in a nursing home in Pensacola, Florida, and there was a man there named Joseph Franklin Moore. And Joseph Franklin Moore was a World War II veteran, only he was against us. He was working for the Nazis and for Hitler. And my dad is Jewish, and so I was talking to him about the Jews, and he was telling me all the stories of how they used to take the Jews and put them in the ovens and burn them, and how they used to gas them. And he's telling me stories how they used to hang them by chains, and they would gamble. The soldiers would gamble, and they would bet money on who could take out their wrist with just two shots from a gun. And we're sitting there, and he's crying, telling me these stories, and I'm sitting there crying. And at the end of this thing, this wicked, wicked man, a persecuted God's chosen people, got down on his old knees and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He said, well, that can't happen because we're in Laodicea. No, Christian, you're just deceived, Christian. We were in Ohio, you know Brother Silvestri, and we were out street preaching with him, and we talked to these hockey players, and they were three 19-year-old young men. We talked to them for about 35 minutes. There was four of them, and three of them got down the concrete slab and accepted Jesus Christ, and one adamantly stood against it and claimed he was an atheist. And we got up from praying. It was a great time. We got up from praying. Just as they finished praying, they were still singing in the gazebo, and they were saying, glory, I'm saved, amen, and they were shouting it out. And so we were having a good time. But Christian, if you cast the net, you can be fruitful for Jesus Christ. But the problem is, none of us want to take the net. None of us want to cast the net. None of us want to do the work that it takes. Turn back to John chapter 21 and we'll close. John chapter 21. And Jesus comes to the disciples and they didn't know it was Jesus. And in verse number 5, Jesus Christ says, children, have you any meat? Disciples are out there in a ship. They're fishing. They're not catching anything. They're out there all night. And the morning time comes, Jesus Christ, he calls out. He says, children, have you any meat? And they looked at him and they said, no, we don't have any meat. Now look, if you let your eye look down, look at verse number 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Jesus Christ, verse number 9. Jesus Christ has some fire coals and fish later on and bread. Jesus Christ already supplied the physical need that the disciples had. When they were out there fishing, I don't think Jesus Christ was asking them, children, are you catching any fish? I think he's asking them a different question. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. He's asking them, children, have you any meat? And the Lord might be asking you that tonight, Christian. Children, have you any meat? Look at John chapter 4 and verse number 30. The Bible says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And Christian, Jesus Christ is out there on the land. He's calling out. He's saying, children, have you any meat? Children, what are you doing? Children, I've got the bread here, I've got the coals here, I've got the fish here, I've got everything physical that you need taken care of. What are you doing? Are you doing the will of him that sent you? Are you completing his work? What are you doing? Some of you in here tonight, you're out there and you're casting a net for the world. You're casting a net for your career. You're casting a net maybe for your family. And the Lord's asking you, what are you doing with that net? I sent you for a specific person. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working. You got to work. Got to pay the bills. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with family. But you could be spending all your time and effort and emotion and money and talent on things that the Lord Jesus Christ really doesn't care much about. You're casting the net over the wrong things. And the Lord's already supplied the physical for you, Christian. He's asking you, children, have you any meat? Christian, what are you doing with your net? One day, and I always say this because I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be in eternity, how things are going to work out. But the Lord might have you come up to Him and say, Brother Mike Veach, come up here. And you're going to pick up your net. And you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to say, Brother, throw it on the fire. You're going to throw that thing on the fire and there's going to be nothing in it. Will that be you, Christian? Will there be something in it? Will there be something that will remain? You see, down here, it's easy. It's easy to get the glory from men. It's easy to be in the limelight. It's easy to steal God's glory that should be gone to the Lord. But in the end, God's going to get the glory. God's going to say, what'd you do? And you're going to stand there and you're going to say, but God, I'm here. Aren't you glad? Look at me. I made it. You think God's going to say, yeah, praise God the Father. You know, you made it. Amen. No, He's going to say, what did you do with all the talents I gave you? What did you do with all the gifts I gave you? What did you do with all your time and all your money? And all? Is that all you got, an empty net? Man, wouldn't it be great to get up to heaven and, man, I wish I had something put in here. I'll just throw the songbook in here. Get up to heaven and say, Lord, God, it might not be much, but Lord, I labored and I did my best for you. And Lord, this is what I got. Just one fish. Just one fish. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I want to ask you an honest question tonight. I don't know you. Most of you, I don't know you that well.